Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
All right, well, we're going to continue in the book of Psalms tonight. You can go ahead and turn to Psalm chapter 119, and I know that that is very scary, but I'm not going to keep you for too long tonight. I want to talk to you, though, about serving God with your whole heart. Serving God with your whole heart. I think it's an area that a lot of Christians potentially struggle with is surrender. You know, I think I've quoted it before, but there's an old Rich Mullins song. He says, surrender don't come naturally to me. And I don't think he was just speaking for himself. I don't think surrender comes naturally to any of us. It's really hard to let go of something. It's really hard to give in. And I would say that as a pastor, if there's one question I've been asked more than any, it is, how do you surrender? I think that that's something that a lot of people are wondering. How do you actually surrender? Well, the thing with surrender is there's not a formula that you follow. It's just simply letting go and letting God take control. And that sounds scary. It sounds daunting. And you then they ask, well, how do you do that? And as long as you're asking, how do you do it? How do you do it? You're not doing it. You don't get there until you just let go and say, God, I trust you. You have complete control, whatever you want to do. And I first want to read you a scripture. I know you're in Psalm 119. You can stay there because we're going to read a lot of verses from there tonight. But first, I want to read you a verse out of 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9. And this is David speaking to his son Solomon. It says, and Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. Worship and serve Him with your whole heart and a willing mind. For the Lord sees every heart and knows every plan and every thought. And if you seek Him, you will find Him. That's a promise from God that I think a lot of times we look at the promises of God and we look at the physical things that are attached to them. But there are so many spiritual promises of God too, that if you seek Him, you'll find Him. If you knock, the door will be open, right? He says, if you seek Him, you will find Him. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. So what's happening in this story before we get to Psalm 119 is David is nearing the end of his reign and he's preparing for Solomon. He's trying to groom his son for kingship. He's trying to groom him to get ready to build the temple because David had a heart that was after God. We know that. That's one of the characteristics that we so love about David. One of the reasons he's everybody's favorite Bible character, pretty much. Like, I mean, if you're a kid growing up, especially if you're like a dude, I mean, what would you like better than to be able to say that you killed a lion and a bear and you killed a giant and you were a king and you dominated the world around you and you had every foe that you ever had, you conquered them. I mean, David's just a hero for everybody, right? But because of all of the blood that was on David's hands, because of the war that God said, because you're a man of war, you're a man of bloodshed, you're not going to be the one that I choose to make my tabernacle. You're not going to be the one that I want to build my temple. I want your son, Solomon, to do it. So David is grooming Solomon to build a dwelling place for the Ark of the Covenant, which is the presence of God. And it had been in David's heart to do, but he wasn't able to do it. And so David is instructing his son how he ought to conduct himself as king and as foreman for the earthly resting place of the presence of God. He's grooming his son to build the resting place for the presence of God. Now, in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, do you not know that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost? So, I believe that we can take this scripture where David is instructing Solomon, we can apply it to our life because we are preparing to be the place. We're not preparing. We are the place that God has chosen to put His home on this earth. And so we should look at the sage advice from David to Solomon and let it be guidance for our own life. And we'll get to Psalms momentarily, but I believe that this instruction is so important. And I want to focus on something David says. He says, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. I believe that God wants to have an intimate relationship with all of His children, with all of His people. He doesn't want to have a closer relationship with Tim than he does with Shane, or with Katie than he does with Brian. He wants to have an intimate relationship with every single one of us. And I think sometimes we think that God has favorites, right? We have this Billy Graham mentality. God loves Billy Graham, but God can never love me. But God wants to have an intimate relationship with each and every one of us. And I think a lot of people are content with God knowing them, but they stopped there and they haven't pursued them knowing God. Because I think that we should learn to know the God of our fathers intimately. David told Solomon, he said, learn, study, seek out, educate yourself, take in, pursue, read up on how to know the God who parted the Red Sea. Seek to know the God who rained manna down on millions of people when there was no food. Seek to know the God that from a rock he provided water. Seek to know the God that delivered the people of Israel through judges time and time again. That's what David is saying to Solomon. He's saying, I want you to seek. I want you to study. I want you to learn how to know him in an intimate way. Don't be content with the fact that he knows you, but you go after him. You pursue him. Don't just know him on a surface level, but seek to know him intimately. If we don't hear anything else tonight, if you don't hear anything else I say, hear this. God wants an intimate relationship with you on a personal level. He wants to meet with you tomorrow morning at your breakfast table, or tomorrow morning kneeling by your bed, or tomorrow morning in your prayer room, or tomorrow morning on your drive to work. He wants to have that intimate relationship with you. And that's, listen, when you know that you're ending, coming to the end of your life, you only say what you really mean and what is important to say. And David, at the end of his reign, what he wanted Solomon to know more than anything was not get all the gold, win all the wars. It was learn to know God intimately and seek after him. So come close. The word intimate has some amazing synonyms. You ready? This is the kind of relationship God wants with you. A close relationship, a dear relationship, a cherished relationship, a familiar relationship, a faithful relationship, a constant relationship, a devoted, firm, special, harmonious, deep relationship. Those are synonyms of the word intimately. And that's what David is telling Solomon. Learn to know God in a dear way, in a close way, in a special way, in a harmonious way, in a deep way. Don't just be satisfied, David or Solomon, with the surface level, but always seek to find out the deeper things of God. And because he wants and he longs to be with you throughout the day. I heard this song today and it just struck my heart. It's the old hymn. It says, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. He's calling to you, and he's calling for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Jesus is like a lover that misses his bride, that wants to spend time with you and wants to spend time with me. I remember when Pastor Madison and I first started dating, I couldn't wait until I could see her again. How many of you guys remember that? When with your significant someone, hopefully you still have that feeling towards them, but you can't wait to see them. You can't wait to spend time with them. You can't wait to be with them. And so as David is nearing his departure from this world, he urges his son, seek to know the Lord intimately. He says, worship him and serve him with your whole heart. With your whole heart and with a willing mind. In other words, to break it down in our in a simple way, David's saying, Solomon, don't departmentalize your heart. That's what we tend to do a lot of times. We break up our heart into these little sections and these little departments, and we say, okay, this is God's portion. This is my wife's portion. This is my children's portion. This is work's portion. This is entertainment's portion. And we departmentalize it and we divide it up into sections of this one's God, this one's mine, this one belongs here, this one belongs there. But the goal is that it would all belong to him. David's saying, Solomon, seek God with your whole heart. In other words, wherever you go, God, whatever you do, I want to be a part of it. I want to seek you with my whole heart. And David is equipping Solomon with this reminder. And I think God is equipping us tonight and saying, seek me with your whole heart. Don't just come after me in portions. Don't just come after me in waves, but seek me consistently. And so let's go to Psalm 119, because in Psalm 119, David uses this phrase, whole heart, over and over again, because we realize that he's giving Solomon this instruction, but he's also the writer of Psalm 119, and he says it over and over again, with my whole heart, with my whole heart, with my whole heart. So this was a constant, consistent theme throughout the life of David, is he wanted everything. That's why I believe that the Word of God says David, that God testified of David that he was a man after his own heart, is because David didn't just give God some of his heart, but he gave God all of his heart. And so let's look at that tonight, what it says in Psalm 119. Starting in verse 2, that's the first place that it says that David uses the phrase, my whole heart. And in Psalm 119, verse 2, it says, blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with a whole heart. So the first thing that we're going to talk about tonight is seeking him with our whole heart. In verse 10, David says, with my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. When we seek God with our whole heart, we're blessed and we're kept in the paths of his commandments. That's what it promises us in verse 2. And so what does it look like, though, to seek God with our whole heart? Does that mean that you have to stay in your prayer closet all day and fast 7 days a week and never engage in entertainment or any outside activity other than the realm of church and all things that are godly and good? And we can just never, you know, we can't watch TV, and you can't, you know, go to this place. You can't go to Walmart. I knew somebody one time that we were going out to eat, and they wouldn't go to the restaurant because they served alcohol in the restaurant. And I was like, where do you buy your groceries? Because they sell alcohol. Like, I mean, if you're going to be that legalistic, just, you know, till the whole yard and plant you a good garden, because you're not going to be able to go anywhere, right? And so I don't think that with serving God with our whole heart, he's saying that it means that we can't engage in any activity outside of just spiritual things. But I think that spiritual people should walk in the Spirit all the time. And so you have to realize the Spirit of God is not contained to a building or to a place. He goes with you everywhere that you go. And so we carry the Spirit of God even into places that may possess darkness. The light that's inside of us should shine brighter than the darkness that's inside of the world. And so it doesn't mean that we just close ourselves in and we build a convent, because then we'd become a cult. But we don't want to be a cult. We want to be a church. Amen? Because a church has outreach involved. The church wants to shine with the light of Jesus Christ. So what he means when he says, I to seek him with our whole heart, or I've sought you with my whole heart, it means that when you pray, when you read the Word of God, when you fellowship, when you worship, he has your complete attention in that moment. That in that moment, you aren't thinking about the carpet that needs to get vacuumed. You aren't thinking about the dog's vet appointment that might need to be rescheduled. You're not thinking about what you're going to make for dinner, but you're focused on him, saying, God, right now, in this moment, you can have all of this 20 minutes. You can have all of me in this moment. And there's going to be times when you're going to have to go back out into the world. You're going to have to go to work. You're going to have to go to a meeting. You're going to have to go to the grocery store. And so there are going to be other activities, but your heart is still set on him in that moment. And you're saying, God, I've sought you with my whole heart. And David says, blessed are those who seek God with their whole heart. But then he says in verse 10. So that's in verse 2, right? Which is the second verse of this 176 verse chapter that David would write. I mean, he just kept writing and writing and writing. I don't know if he drank a whole pot of coffee and he was just like, I'm in a groove. I'm just going to keep writing. He just kept going. But in verse 2, he says, blessed are those who seek you with their whole heart, which would be future tense. Those who seek you, who go after you. But in verse 10, he says, he testifies, I have sought you with my whole heart. And that's one thing that I love about David, is that he followed through. And sometimes we think that because we listened to a sermon about it, we attended a service, we prayed a prayer, that it's done. But we need to be faithful to follow through with what we've committed to do, to seek him and to keep our heart devoted to him, wholly surrendered to him. At all moments, at all times, whatever he desires, I'm going to do it. Wherever he guides, I'm going to go. So seek him with your whole heart, meaning you give him complete attention and complete access to your schedule, That's what Pastor Frankie was talking about a couple Sundays ago. Is when you become a Christ follower instead of just a Christ believer or a Christ acceptor, He will change your schedule. He will lead you different places. He will make you, go. He'll lead you to go this way and lead you to go that way because you're seeking Him with your whole heart. He doesn't just get Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights, but He gets Friday afternoon when you get off at 5 and you're driving home and you can't wait to kick the feet up and eat some pizza. And God says, stop and help that person on the side of the road. That's seeking God with your whole heart. We get this idea of seeking God is fasting and praying, and we're between porch and altar, and we got sackcloth and ashes on, and we're doing all this stuff. But seeking God with your whole heart means, God, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. Because I don't believe that we should be locked into this, I've got to pray 2 hours a day or I'm not pleasing God. I believe that pleasing God is just walking with God in every single thing that we do. Some people get so locked into, I didn't pray today, I didn't read today. And listen, I encourage you to read and pray every single day. But the Bible also says that a married man and a married woman must care about the things of the world. Must care about the things of the world. And so there are times when life is going to interrupt your schedule, but don't let it interrupt your fellowship. That's the goal. Your schedule may change, but your fellowship with God, your position with God, shouldn't change based on how busy you are or how sometimes it is harder to seek God in times when you're not busy because you just get so lackadaisical. Quarantine, right? When everybody was shut down, it's like, oh, sweet, I'm going to get so much time with God. And you end up sleeping till 8 a.m. And then you end up checking the news to see how many COVID cases there are. And then you end up, making monkey bread and cooking eggs. And next thing you know, and you're baking cookies. And then you're making a cake. And then you're making a German chocolate cake. That's what we did. We just cooked and cooked and baked and baked. I told my wife last night we were in the grocery store. I said, you remember a couple weeks ago when you couldn't get toilet paper? That was weird. That was really weird. I mean, that's what people freaked out about. Like, okay, that's weird. Anyways, but seeking God with your whole heart is just giving everything that you have to Him. And I'm not saying don't put emphasis on prayer and reading of the Bible. I think every single Sunday I try to encourage people, spend time in the Word, spend time in the prayer. But it's what happens a lot of times is we pray and we read and then we leave those moments and we cease fellowship. And it's like, what was the point? Like the point is the reason I read and pray in the morning is to connect with God. It's not to do it. It's to get connected with God so that I'm empowered to walk with Him throughout the rest of my day. So don't cease fellowship just because of a busy or a not busy schedule. Amen. So He says, blessed are you if you seek Him with your whole heart. I have sought you with my whole heart. Let me not wander from your commandments. Next He says in verse 69, the insolent smear me with lies. But with my whole heart, I keep your precepts. So this is talking about complete obedience. Obeying God in every single thing. Instead of looking for cheat codes or corners to cut, David prayed for the understanding to be able to keep all of God's law. Instead of wondering, where can I not fulfill the plans of the Lord? Where can I not fulfill the pleasures of God? He's asking, God, give me the heart that understands your precepts, your laws, your truth. You see, he didn't want to look for excuses or exemptions. He came to love the law of the Lord. You know why? Because it came from the Lord. Now, I understand we're under grace, not under the law. Anywhere in Scripture in the Old Testament that I see the law, I just replace it with the Word of God. Because to them, the law was the Pentateuch. It was the books that Moses had received on the mountain. And to me, it's the Word of God. When I say the law of God, I'm talking about His Word, what He commands me to do. I'm not talking about the 300-something odd, rituals and traditions. I'm talking about the plan of God, the covenant of God, what He calls the precepts. And so he wasn't looking for ways around it, but David came. He says it throughout Psalm 19, I love your law. I love your precepts. I love your commandments. I love your Word. Revive me according to your word. And the reason David loved the law of God and the commandments of God and the precepts of God is because he loved God. And so anything that came from God, David wanted to have as a part of his life. And I think sometimes people despise the commandments and the precepts of God because they don't really know the God of the commandments. They resist when he commands to love your enemy. They resist when he commands to, you know, live righteously. They resist when he commands. And they're like, I don't want a God who just tells me what to do. And the reason they have that feeling, the reason they have that thought, is they don't understand the God of the commandment. They're only hearing the commandment. But the reason that we can appreciate him is when you know his love, when you know his mercy, when you know his compassions that fail not, when you know his deliverance, when you know his heart, you begin to appreciate his commandments because they become safety for your souls. They become guardrails to realize, okay, the reason he commands me not to do that is because if I get too far over there, there's going to be danger on the other side. I'm going to fall off a cliff. I'm going to, you know, that's why they put guardrails up at places like the Grand Canyon or places like, you know, the Niagara Falls where people could fall over. Is they're giving you a barrier of safety. And that's what the commandments of God do, is they bring safety, they bring direction and guidance in our life. And so that's what God's commandments are. And I want a heart that's like David's. I want a heart that is after God's and one that longs to observe and keeps the plans of God and not tries to get out of what God commands me to do. But praise, listen to that. He said, God, give me understanding so that my whole heart, I can keep your precepts. He wanted understanding with that. And I don't want to seek shortcuts. I want to seek truth. And then next verse is in verse 58. He says, I entreated your favor with my whole heart. Be merciful to me according to your word. So with my whole heart, I'm seeking after your favor. Now, I think this is really interesting because if you translate this in Hebrew, it actually reads like this. I am begging for your face. That doesn't sound very cool or very interesting, but the word face in the Hebrew is also the word that we would translate for presence. And so when he's asking for the favor of God, he's literally begging for the presence of God. Not begging like you have to beg to get it, but because have you ever wanted something so bad that you'd do anything to get it? That's the heart that David had. He was begging. He was asking God, I just want to see your face. And this word favor, it's the same word that if you go back to Genesis chapter 1, when it says that his face was hovering over the presence of the deep. That is, God was searching and he was looking and he was hovering over the waters. And that's what David is after, is the presence of God. So David isn't asking for material blessings through the favor of God, but he wants the presence of God. He's saying, I'd rather have your presence than silver. I'd rather have your presence than gold. I'd rather have your presence than fine rubies. I'd rather have your presence than castles. I'd rather have your presence than anything that this world could ever offer me. I don't know if you guys know that old song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than have riches untold. Like, it just, that song, it just gets me fired up every single time because I realize if I have Jesus and nothing else, then I have all that I need. I can be content. And that's what he's saying is God, if you will give me your presence, if you will shine your face on me, because it's the same word that Aaron would use in the Aaronic blessing when he would say, cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance upon you. It's the same word. David's saying, would you entreat me? I have entreated you. I'm sorry. Would you give me your face? Would you give me your presence? God, would you look upon me? Would you smile upon me? Would you cause your face to shine upon me? Would you look at me and be pleased with me? God, that's what he was longing after. And he said, that's what I'm seeking with my whole heart. In other words, when you say whole heart, you cannot have your whole heart engaged in one activity and another activity. That is your only focus. That is your only goal. And David was saying, my only goal, God, is your presence. It's your face. It's being close to you. It's knowing you. And so we should be people that are after his face. And I'm going to begin to try to wrap up because I want to get to that meeting tonight, not keep you too late past normal time. Psalm 119, verse 145, 145 verses. My goodness gracious. He says, with my whole heart, I cry out, answer me, O Lord, I will keep your statutes. If you study the scripture out and you look at it in different translations and you look at it in Hebrew, what he's actually talking about when he says cry out is prayer. He's talking about prayer. He's saying, I'm going to pray with all of my heart. And listen, there's other scriptures where throughout the Bible says all of my heart. These are just the ones that say the two words whole heart. Throughout Psalm 119, throughout other, he says all of my heart, all of my heart. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. And so, but David is speaking in regards to prayer. So he's declaring that he isn't going to pray half-hearted, repetitive, faithless prayers. But when he prays, his heart's going to be engaged. Sometimes I fear that when we pray, our mouth is the only thing engaged. And then sometimes we engage our mind, but our heart is not actually engaged. He wants us to engage all of our heart, because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so he's saying, I want it with my whole heart. I'm crying out because I believe and I know that if I have faith in you, I will trust that you will sustain me. You will answer me. You will come through. So when you pray, don't just pray what you've heard other people say. Pray from your heart. That's what God wants to hear anyways. I think sometimes we get into this mindset in our prayer time. I don't know if you've ever been there before, but you're like, I'm just praying the same thing I prayed yesterday. I'm just praying the same thing I prayed a week ago. Listen, God does not just want lip service. He doesn't just want time on a clock. He would rather have 2 minutes of your heart than an hour of just lip service. He would rather us engage our whole heart. Listen, God isn't focused on quantity, but quality. Okay? Sometimes we think, well, I prayed for 30 minutes, so therefore it was a good prayer time. But was your heart engaged? Were you really, really focused on God in that moment? Were you really giving him all of your attention? Or when you were praying, were you thinking about work? Were you thinking about, and listen, God want, and what, sometimes we're like, I don't know what to pray about. Just pray about life. Like, instead of letting your mind drift to that, how about pray and ask God to help you with that matter? Instead of letting your mind drift to work or to that problem or to what you and your spouse are talking about, how about just say, just talk to God about it. I think the greatest misconception of Christianity is when you pray, you have to pray in a different tone and with different words. Should we pray respectfully and reverently? Absolutely. No question about it. But I don't have to go, dear God, every time that I want to address him. I don't, every time I go into my dad's office at the church in Scottsboro, I don't go, dear dad. Because he's my dad. I just walk and say, hey, dad. Right? You can talk to God at any moment, at any time, and you don't have to make a show about it. Right? Have you ever seen those people that they're just, one of my favorite quotes of all time is, the Holy Spirit isn't weird, people are weird. Okay, but sometimes people do weird things, and that's okay. Don't judge them for it, but don't blame it on the Holy Spirit if you're just weird, okay? But Jesus tells a story. He says there's a Pharisee that he goes and stands on the corner, and he makes a big show, right? And he's making sure everybody knows God. He says, God, I thank you that I'm not like this sinner over here. And Jesus says there's a sinner, and he won't even lift his head up, but he just beats his chest. And he says, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. And that's the portrait that Jesus is trying to paint for us of how we should come before God. Not loud and boisterous and everybody look at me, because Jesus said to that Pharisee, they already got their reward. So if you're asking God to bless you, well, you already robbed God of your blessing by trying to bless yourself and promote yourself. But you can talk to God when you're walking through the grocery store, just you know, chatting with him about life, chatting with him about everything. You can talk. I remember just one time when I was in high school, all the pastors at the church that my dad was on staff at went to play golf. And so my dad took me along and I went. And I remember we're in the fairway and we're playing a 4-man scramble. It's okay if you don't know what that is. And so we're all standing there waiting to hit. And one of the pastors of the church, his name was Greg Gilman, he just starts singing a worship song. And the next thing you know, he's just speaking in tongues. And I'd grown up around Pentecostal church all my life, so I wasn't freaked out by him speaking in tongues, but I was like, he's speaking in tongues on the golf course. That's pretty cool. Like, he's communing with the Lord while he's playing golf. And I think I mentioned that Sunday morning about learning that you could do that, but God is not restricted to a place, to a time. He's everywhere. He's infinite. And so he can handle your questions. You don't have to set a meeting with God. Okay. Hey, God, can I get you at 2:45 for like 15 minutes? That'd be great. No, you just start talking to him and he's there. And that's what David's saying is, I've cried to you with my whole heart. And sometimes we try to be spiritual while he's just looking for a relationship. He's like, you're trying to jump through all these hoops and I'm just right here. Like, you don't have to do all this stuff to get to me. But we have all these religious traditions that we have to say, we have to pray this way and say this stuff. Just, he's waiting for you to jump up in his lap and just begin to talk to him. That's all. When I have my prayer time in the mornings, I just act like he's sitting in the chair across from me, or he's sitting in the floor with me, or he's sitting on the bed, and I'm just having a conversation with him. That's how we should talk to God, is we engage our heart and not just our mouth, not just become religious with it. Amen? All right. In Psalm 111:1, 138:1, and 9:1, the writers of Psalms say, I praise you with my whole heart. So those were all the ones in Psalm 119, but I wanted to focus on these really quickly as we close up, because Sunday morning I talked about enthusiasm. And I believe that we should be enthusiastic in our praise and in our worship. And that's what the writer is saying, is I'm going to praise you with my whole heart. I'm not just going to lift my hands. I'm not just going to get on my knees. I'm not just going to lift my voice. But I'm going to, when I raise a hallelujah, like we sang about earlier, it's going to come from deep within me. It's going to come from my heart. It's not just going to be my lips. And so he says, I want to praise you with my whole heart. Now, in chapter 9, verse 1, and in chapter 111, verse 1, that word praise in the Hebrew is the word yada. And maybe you've done studies on the seven Hebrew words of praise. There's seven different words for praise in the Hebrew language, because their language is so much more complex than the... Well, I say complex. It's not... It is, but English is confusing. I don't know about you guys. It's hard enough for me. But Hebrew has seven different words for praise. And the one used in chapter 9, verse 1 and 111 says, is yada. And it means this: to cast out, to make confession, to praise, to shoot, to give thankful, not only used... from the root word yad, but literally to use the hand or to physically throw a stone or an arrow at or away, especially to revere and worship with adoration with hands, intensively to bemoan by wringing the hands, to cast out, to make confession, to praise, to shoot, to be thankful, or to give thanksgiving. And so it's to, in essence, to raise your hands up, where it talks about by the wringing of the hands, in reverence with extended hands. That's why when we lift our hands, the worship leader will say a lot of times, raise your hands and surrender, because, you know, that's what you do when they say, put your hands up, you're surrendering. And yes, that's part of it, as you're saying, God, I surrender. But it's an outward extension of an inward heart. That you're saying, God, with my whole heart, God, I know that I can't externally worship you with my heart. So what's inside of my heart? I need some way to communicate what's going on in my heart with my body. And so I throw my hands up in the air because I want to get closer to you, because I want to make an outward expression. I throw my hands, I cast my hands up in the air, and I worship you because I'm worshiping with my whole heart. And then in chapter 138, verse 1, it's the Hebrew word zamar, which means to give praise, to sing forth praises. And it means properly, listen to this, I love this, to touch the strings or part of a musical instrument, to play upon it, to make music accompanied by the voice. Hence, to celebrate in song, music, give praise, sing forth in praises, and in psalms. I love that God gave us the gift of music. Mr. Bruce and I got together and had lunch today, and they're starting an incredible venue at their home that it's called the Nightingale Opry. Is that right? Nightingale Opry of Mentone. And it's going to be a beautiful place where they're going to host musical events of bluegrass, gospel, Americana, even Native American Indian music. And they're starting this. And I love it because the whole goal behind it is that God would be glorified first and foremost. There's going to be other things involved. But God gave us the incredible gift of music. I think about when Brian plays the drums on Sunday mornings, he's not just giving us cadence and rhythm to clap through. Through his playing of those instruments, he is worshiping God with his whole heart. When you grab a guitar, when you sit down at a piano, when you lift your voice, when you're driving down the road and you're singing along with that Hillsong record, or you're singing along with that, you know, Bethel worship song, you're singing along with what's on the radio, if you're doing it from your heart, you're praising God with everything that you have. It's to accompany music with singing. And so I believe that God wants people who will praise Him with our whole heart. Amen. That we'll give Him everything that we have, that we use our giftings, our abilities, that we'll throw our hands in the air, that we will that we'll sing, that we'll make melody, that we'll play music, that we'll worship God with everything that we have, that we would seek God. Like David said, he said, He said, learn to know the Lord your God of your ancestors intimately. Seek Him. Worship Him with your whole heart. And don't forsake Him. And that's what I want us to do. Is I want us to be people that are after God with all of our heart. That's why Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. You know, one of the ways that you can serve God, that you can love God, is by loving others. Because if you say you love God, but you don't love other people, the Bible says you're a liar. And you don't actually love God. So loving people is the proof of the fact that you love God. And so that's one of the ways that we can serve Him with our whole heart. But go ahead and stand to your feet tonight. Because I know in just a moment you'll go. Some of you will go get children from the nursery. But I just want to encourage you. Like I was talking about earlier, don't get so tuned in and focused on just that reading and praying just to get it marked off the list, just to get it done. Or I read 4 chapters today, thank the Lord, and I'm so spiritual. But don't cease fellowship when you leave that time with Him. When you're driving, fellowship with God. When you're at work, spend time with God. That's what seeking Him with your whole heart is that you don't separate what you do over here from what He's doing over there. But He wants to be a part of every single thing that you do. Amen. Would you bow your head with me tonight? Father, we thank You that You give us invitation to Your presence. God, we thank You that You give us invitation to walk with You, talk with You, spend time with You, Lord. And we just say we want to be people like David said, I have sought You with my whole heart. God, we don't want to leave behind a specific part of our life, hold anything back. God, we don't want to be like spiritual Ananias and Sapphira, that they said they gave the whole amount, but they lied to the Holy Spirit and they kept some back. But God, we want to be people that we understand that You know everything anyways. So we lay it all out before You. God, our problems, our wins, our losses, the things we're good at, the things we're bad at. God, we give it all to You, knowing that You're a good Father and that You're faithful. We love You and we praise You, God. And we glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to declare over you tonight that came forward for healing. I just declare you're the healed of the Lord in Jesus' name. Just receive the healing of the Father right now. Any area in your life, any area in your mind, in your heart, I just declare healing. By His stripes, we were healed. Amen. In Jesus' name. If you're staying for the meeting, we'll go in here in just a few moments. If you have children in the nursery or in the children, you can go grab them and then come right back in here. The meeting will not take very long, but it's just so that we're all aware and have the information that we need to make Saturday the best that it can possibly be. I love you guys. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up His countenance upon you. Keep you in His peace. Amen.